Greetings, folks. This is Pastor Christopher here with you again as we continue our journey. You are listening to Second Mile, a podcast of Project 516, where we reflect on where the journey has taken us on the trail, talk with people who are finding their own time apart, or those who have that traveled wisdom to share with us together. The road goes ever on, to quote from Tolkien, and having someone alongside you as you walk that second mile can make all the difference. This segment of Second Mile walks with a couple of pastors who have committed to hiking a week's worth of miles on the Appalachian Trail with their friends and family. Starting at the southern terminus in Georgia, we'll be heading northbound, hopefully to the Unicoi Gap. So here we have it, day two. We did a massive amount of hiking today. Well, let's say a massive amount of hiking for us. We made a couple of videos and things, basically just for ourselves, but we've put them up on the net at this point. And I think we said, somebody said that we were in enthusiasts, part-time enthusiasts, as far as our hiking abilities go, I guess, which was good for us. I think we ended up actually doing only 15 and some miles, where we were gonna end up camping out ended up being probably too crowded. And honestly, by the time we got to where we stopped, I was done. I mean, that's a little personal, admission there. I was really done. I was totally finished. I guess I could have, I mean, you're always surprised at yourself and how you can push on and push on, but it's also nice to just be able to be done. And in my heart, in my spirit, I definitely felt like I was finished. It was interesting to go like this, the difference in where I was mentally and spiritually from day one to day two, just because day two was this big slog of so many miles that we weren't used to. I know there's people, and of course, through hikers and stuff, once you get up to it, you get up into that like 17, 20 mile range every week or every day. And it's interesting. I've always heard of that. Of course, you've heard of like trail legs and getting your trail muscles under you and that kind of thing. But I'm not sure I've ever really quite understood it, because we did a lot of exercise and going to the gym and training and stuff for this trip. And I'll say that was kind of telling too, because I thought, you know, we're in there, we're doing the treadmills, we're doing Stairmaster, we're doing leg lifts, we're doing muscle lifts with the heels and everything else for your calves and stuff like that. And none of that really helped. Or I'll say it didn't feel like it. I'm sure it did. And our overall health was good. And usually, honestly, I struggle with not so much health or weight, but just with like overheating or getting dehydrated. I get distracted. I start sweating. At one point, we hiked in the winter, like I was saying, and got overheated without even realizing it. So those are always my struggles. And this trip, haven't done that, and it's been really, really nice to kind of find my path with that and just having the things I need to do. I bring salt, I bring those little goo drops and stuff, I bring something for the water, like a water additive for electrolytes and things like that. And I just try to be more conscious about like how much I'm drinking, the hours as they go by, things like that. So that was really good, but it was like physically, this was the first time where like the muscles in my body kind of weren't up to the task, which was also interesting. And I think what happens, and the reason that you can't really train, or if you do, if you want to train for the AT or for hiking big trails, Pacific Trail or something like that, you just need to hit trails because there are a lot of micro muscle movements that happen. And that's the thing that makes you so tired. It's just this constant shifting and adjusting, and it is muscles in the hips and the legs, and then also your core all as well. Those are the muscles that you use the most while you're hiking that you never use, even when you're doing treadmill and Stairmaster. You know, you do Stairmaster or something like that, and you're going up, but it's always the exact same amount that you're going up. It's flat. You're not negotiating putting your foot on half of a rock to try and ascend some trail or something like that. And so you don't get those little tiny micro muscle adjustments that your body naturally makes to keep you upright and to keep your pack on when you're out on the trail. I think I was definitely feeling a lot of that. And that might be, I don't know, maybe that's some of the fatigue that a lot of like first time hikers feel, or folks that are like us where they're like, well, I have a desk job or I have a sitting down job for most of the time. And now I'm out here doing this. It's interesting, you know, the couple of us that are pastors, I mean, it's hard to find a job probably now that that isn't sitting behind a desk, unless you're doing like the heavy working things, the construction, landscaping, stuff like that. And sure, you're out doing that. But even as you get older into things like, you know, carpentry, I've got a friend who's in the carpentry business, and a lot of his job now is management. Management a lot of times means sitting in front of a computer or sitting in a car. Most of the time, driving out to sites, doing things like that. You're still mostly in the car, maybe some minimal walking after that. It's just human society, I guess. We don't have very active jobs. So it can be tough to transition from whatever it is you do every day into, oh, I'm going to hike for a week now. It was interesting. We also met, some people. We met some through hikers, and we'll talk about them some more as we kind of go through this. But one guy we met, this poor guy, I don't remember his name, so I can't reveal who it was. But this poor guy, it was day two on the trail. We saw him when we stopped for lunch at a shelter. And one, his pack was way too heavy. And that's just good advice no matter what you're doing or where you are. Like, don't take as little as you think is possible, and then take out some things. Like, take some stuff away from that pile. Because you'll be surprised, like things that you actually use and things that you won't. And he was saying that he was having a conversation when we stopped for lunch. He was having a conversation with somebody to get a ride, to get picked up, and to have some of his stuff taken into town so that it could be mailed back to his house, because he just wasn't using it. I think he said he had something like 40 some pounds of gear, and that's what his pack weighed in on. And you have to think, like 40 some pounds of gear plus, you know, water, or plus your own body weight, which, you know, let's be honest, it's not probably where it needs to be. that's totally where I am too. I've probably got, you know, 10 or 12 pounds that I could be happier shedding. So you're carrying all that weight with you, doing things that your body doesn't normally do. And so his comment was, yeah, I didn't think it would be this hard. doing the trails is taxing on your body. And until you really exercise those micro muscles, and until you really get your cardio where it needs to be, it's real tough. One of the other through hikers that we talked to was going to do a 25-mile day, I think. And you can do that. After you do a couple of weeks on the trail, you start expanding the amount of time that you can feel good and start hiking. Your body adapts, which is an awesome and amazing thing. But you have to give it that time to adapt. And day two, 15 miles, that was a lot. I don't know if we gave our bodies quite enough time. But I will say that getting up in the morning after that first night was awesome. Morning is some of my favorite time on the trail. I like to have a little bit of quiet time, relaxation time in the morning. I know there's a lot of through hikers or section hikers. They like to get up, pack up, get stuff together, head out on the trail, and have, like, you know, two bars for breakfast and have snacks along the way. That just doesn't feel It just doesn't feel good to me. I wanna sit down. I wanna make some oatmeal. A lot of times I bring bacon, which is good if you cook some bacon and kind of crumble it up or leave it solid, and then crumble it when you get to eating it. Bacon will last. I've had it last 2 or 3 days. I've never had bacon go rancid. I usually try to eat it near the beginning of the trip, and especially if you're section hiking or if you've just made a stop, it's great. I mean, it is wonderful. It's got that crunch and salt and fat, and after doing any hiking. It's always nice. So I like to crumble a little bit of bacon. I like to make grits and oatmeal sometimes. Bring some hard-boiled eggs, much to a couple of guys. They don't like the sound of eggs or the smell of eggs. But bring some of those and just really, like, make 2 cups of tea. I really just lounge around in the mornings. And we get up early. You know, you get up with the sun, 6:30, 6 o'clock, whatever time of year it is. And it's just some of my favorite time to kind of rebuild the fire from the previous night if you've got a fire out, and just have those precious moments to sit together and to enjoy what being out in the wild is all about. You know, it's about having a restoration experience, I think. I think the exercise, I think the stuff that we do, the way we push ourselves, I think carrying very little gear, I think that's all part of it, honestly. It helps kind of wrap our brains around who we are as human creatures. It sounds stupid, but it's the big questions. It's like, why am I here? What am I doing? What really am I? This little mass of blood and bones and muscle and and thoughts. Well, I think we need to take those moments to really resonate with what that means. I think it's very easy for us to imagine that we're going to be taking this kind of restful experience, but to bring the same patterns of behavior that we have in regular life into that. So instead of having a different experience on the trail and allowing the different experience of the trail to inform the other things that you are doing in life, we kind of flip-flop it. You know, we change it. We allow our regular life to inform what we're doing on the trail and to push us and to drive us there in a way that we know is not healthy in our regular lives, you know. But I feel like the trail is a space to maybe try something a little different. And having said that, I will say, you know, our group, if you're in any kind of a group, you kind of break up a little bit and hike. Different folks kind of just peel apart to be differently. And I was pretty slow. We weren't real slow. We did 16 miles or 15 plus in a regular amount of time. And like I said, we did lounge around a little. I don't think we got started until 9. And then by the time we got to where we were going, I think it was still light out. So it was probably 7:30 or so. And we had a big stop for lunch and everything else and water. So we weren't hiking real slow, but I was definitely the back of the group. And our friend Brian, he stayed back with me, which is nice to be able to hike with somebody and complain and talk. makes the walking go a little faster. Within that, I just wanted to say that we did have a couple of our guys who were a little more driven, and that's fine. And that's not really what I'm talking about having your outside life or your normal, quote unquote, normal life inform what's happening on the trail. But there are different kinds of people on the trail. I think some are really goal driven and goal oriented and want to make that achievement. It helps them just continue on the trail and continue what they're doing and continue their experience. And some are not. And I'm just not. And I will say, I think also that is reflected in my gear. I've been hammock camping, and I guess at this point I can say I am a hammock camper. I've been doing it for more than 10 years now, and I just love it. I love the freedom that it gives me. I love the sleep that I get. I love the dryness when it does rain of all my gear. And I know there's lots of people that love their bivy sacks or love their tents, and they've worked real hard on a tent system that's really good. We had a guy that had an ultralight tent system, and it looked really nice. I was tempted by it. But part of that, I think, is that when you're a tent camper, you have to have a site. You have to have a place to put the tent down physically on the ground. So that means you have to get to a certain site, especially we were in bear country down there in Georgia, of course. So we were a little nervous about having the food out and just doing like a normal bear bag or kind of hanging it in the trees like you would normally do on the trail. But they've had a lot of bear activity throughout the years. I remember one year we hiked actually the same section and we got to little outdoor center, and people had displayed their shredded bear bags that the bears had just torn into, and so they were having a lot of activity then. Not as much this year. There was a lot of bear activity at Springer around the parking area, and that probably is just people dumping food or coming up for picnics or something or doing day hikes. It's attracted them up there. So not really necessarily where we were, but just, it's something you keep in mind. So you're a tent camper and you need to have a pad, you need to have a space to put the tent out, you need to have water, of course, and all those other things. And really, as a hammock camper, like, I can just stop at any point. I can stop anywhere, throw the hammock up, and make camp there. Especially if we've passed a water source, or if I've made these decisions in the past, and you pass a water source, you're like, I'm just going to fill up here. And we're just going to go, and I'm just going to camp out. I'm just going to throw this hammock up. I've got all my water with me. Usually 2.5 liters or so gets me through a night and a morning, even though I'm making several things and several cups of tea. So it's a different mentality that kind of lends itself to how you're hiking and kind of your approach throughout the day. But if you are one of those goal-driven folks, I would... maybe encourage you, because it might be a little bit harder to separate past regular life from current trail life in a way that can be informative if you are more goal-driven. Maybe it's my lesson to see about, could I be more focused on certain goals? Could I approach my regular life more in that way also. So it's interesting how the trail can be an opportunity for a lot of different ways of viewing yourself, ways of viewing your normal life. I'll say this too, as tired as we were, or as tired as I was, and as much as we saw some other people who were through hikers who were maybe going to give up and who were really kind of underprepared, who hadn't done any section hikes. That's the thing that blows my mind. I'll just say this. This is a little caveat off of what I was going to say a minute ago. But if you're going to do the AT, if you're going to hike the whole AT, do a section hike. Do 3, 4, 5 days and just plan on doing a small section just to test your gear, just to see what life is like, just to see what you think of it mentally. A lot of people get enamored with the idea of being on, especially the Appalachian Trail gets a lot of these folks because it's kind of semi-famous. And just do a section hike. Don't make your through hike the first time you've ever tested your gear out on the trail outside of putting it up in your backyard. Just please. We've met so many people over the years that all say the same things. This is so much harder than I thought it was going to be. I was grossly unprepared when I started this. A lot of people we've even seen like further up in Virginia in some places who are just like, yeah, when I started out, it was really dangerous because I didn't understand my gear. I didn't really know exactly how it would perform. I had this fail. I had that fail. It'll benefit you so much in the long run. If you're planning on taking a big hike, even a 2-week hike, just take it out for a weekend. Just take all your stuff out for a weekend. Pretend you're going to go for 2 weeks and just see what's happening. See how your body reacts. See how your gear reacts, stuff like that. But what I was going to say is it can be a real teaching process, a real informative process. And for me, especially like body-wise, it would have been easy, I think, to get down on myself and say, like, gosh, you know, I can't believe this. I've worked out. I've committed to it. And I was doing really well, I thought. And I still can't make this. I still can't do this goal that we set out. And I'm really down on myself. And I'm really, you know, I hate my body or whatever, you know, whatever other kinds of things kind of come out through that. But instead, if you're one of those folks that it's easy to do that, I would encourage you in a different way. And this is where I am after many years of maybe doing it the other way, of maybe hating on myself. But I can come to the point now where I can say, like, hey, yeah, I did work out. I did try real hard to make sure that this trip was going to be good for me physically and that I was going to be able to do things. And it doesn't feel like I'm able to do that. However, in the midst of that, instead of being able to see that as failure or as your body failing you or of your own self failing yourself, be thankful for your body. It's a different kind of practice. It's a different kind of Thanksgiving practice. But just in the midst of your tiredness, just find a way to say to yourself, and this is what I was doing, hiking up those last few miles into the campsite where the guys that were ahead were like, hey, what if we camp here? And I was like, yes, definitely. Let's definitely camp. Please, please. I was ready to be done. But even in the midst of that, I said, you know, like, gosh, these legs are tired, but they are good legs. They're good, strong legs. They've been doing such a great job today. You know, man, I'm really worn out and I feel weak now, but I've been doing really well and I'm really proud of myself. I'm really excited about what tonight's going to be like. So just, it's a reframing. And if you can do it, this is one of those things that can teach you on the trail and it can inform your regular life. If you can do it on the trail, if you can do it when you do your first 12 or 14 or 15 or 16 or 20 mile a day, whatever your limit is that you're pushing on the trail, if you can do it then you can bring it home. And when things fail at home or when the pipes burst or school is going horrible and tests are being failed and projects are being forgotten about or kids are running up and down your head or, you know, whatever else is happening in your life, to be able to say in that moment, instead of hating on ourselves and saying, I'm a failure, I have failed to do this, I am not any good, to instead just bring that practice of Thanksgiving back out and say, I'm proud of myself for what? What am I proud of myself for? I'm proud of myself for studying, even though I didn't get the grade I wanted. I'm proud of myself for doing the other thing that made me forget what I was supposed to do. I'm proud of myself for what I have done and what I am doing so far. And I'm really encouraged or blessed, or I love myself, my soul, my body, my spirit. I'm really appreciative of this form, because this form has gotten us, has gotten me, you know, this is what I was thinking on the trail. This body has gotten me to this step on the trail. Wherever this step is, this body has gotten me there. And so that's great. That's a blessing. That's a good thing that has happened. So there's a lot of reframing that can happen. There's a lot of good to see, even in the hardest of our days, even in what seems like the worst of the days on the trail. We got sunburned that day. We were all tired. We're all worn out. A bunch of guys got blisters and different kinds of things. So it's never going to be perfect, and your body is never going to be perfect, and your approach to it's never going to be perfect. So being able to reframe that and just have a spirit of Thanksgiving, I think, is a better way to go. It's a better way to meet yourself on the trail. So we'll see you tomorrow. Day 3 coming up. Thanks for listening to this episode of Second Mile, a podcast of Project 516. Project 516 is a ministry which seeks to support clergy and lay people as they traverse some of the hardest parts of their lives. In the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 16, It says that Jesus often walked away from the crowds to seek God and rejuvenate in the wilderness. Project 516 helps hold you accountable, supplies you with resources and community, and clears the way for you to rejuvenate the spiritual path of your life. Let's journey together. To find out more about Project 516, visit us on the web at project516.org or find us on Facebook or Instagram at Luke 516.